Driving in today, it's very relaxing. Of course, Mr. Wendt just talked about it wasn't relaxing on the interstate for them, but coming up from Fort Meade, it was very relaxing and beautiful blue sky. And all you can think about is God's beauty, God's creation, God's way of life. So what I want to talk about this afternoon, the title of my sermon message is An Eternal Purpose. An Eternal Purpose. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, we read, He has made everything beautiful in its time. And just as I was describing the beautiful blue sky, everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts. Now you just meditate on that statement. He has put eternity in our hearts. Because God's the one who created us. So let us make man in our image, in our likeness, with the intent of that eternity for His children. That we are being called for. But also, continuing in the verse, Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Well, we don't know everything God is doing or what God has done. Because God's mind is greater than man's. God's thoughts are greater than our thoughts. As He says in His scriptures. But we know, we have been shown in God's Word, that God wants us to know that our life that He has blessed us with, that He has given us, is worth more than we'll ever imagine in this life. That we personally have a very specific purpose in God's created universe, in God's family. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we read, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Verse 3, And everyone who has this hope in Him and her purifies themselves, just as He is pure. So in verse 1, we saw where God has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. That indicates that you have a choice. When God calls you, you have that choice of life or death. Choose which one. Well, we sitting here today, we have chosen life. We're here on God's Sabbath day, listening to God's words of truth. Verse 2, it says, Beloved, now we are children of God. Doesn't that just give you a very comforting, warm feeling? Because this is God's love to us. That He is sharing with us this potential life that is there presented to us. Because at the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. It states that human beings were made in the image of God, as I've said previously. You find that in Genesis 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Well, man hadn't been doing a very good job of that since creation. As we look around our environment and our world today, our nation, the world itself, you can't really see where we've taken care of what's in the seas other than polluting them. The birds of the air, how many have become extinct? The cattle. This nation alone at one point wanted to get rid of cows because it said it was producing too much carbon in the air. It's amazing. Man does what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. But John said that we would like him, for we shall see him as he is when that time comes. That he has set for himself in the timeline that his only and not our timeline. When Christ returns, we will be there. The resurrection to be with Christ. The Apostle John wrote that we don't know exactly what we'll be like in the promised future. Well, one thing you can take to the bank when God says we would be there, if we make the right choices, we will be there. And we'll be so thankful and glad, relieved, cherishing that moment, because we will be spirit beings made in the image of God, children like our Father. Because the Creator God, our Father, wants His purpose to become the driving purpose in our own life. And that purpose involves an awesome, unbelievable future for us, for all of mankind. But we know that now, and we're to be working on that now in our life, because it involves our life now. It's not something we should be waiting on for next tomorrow, next week. No, today. Work on it today. Look forward to it today from God's Word. Because our eternal God has prepared that future, a future that we need to be preparing diligently now, because it is coming, and our preparation is now as it's approaching. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 11, says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Verse 13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." God is available to us today, tomorrow, will be available to people in the future. Because God's thoughts of peace toward us as His child. Is a very loving and reassuring thing. Because of that future that He wants to give us and that hope. That we are to be drawing from that promise of eternal life. But the people that Jeremiah spoke to at that time, did they really listen to Jeremiah? No. No, they did not. So we cannot be like them. We cannot have that attitude. We must have the attitude that we must seek God and search for Him with all of our heart. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, starting in verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself, meaning Jesus Christ, likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Verse 15, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Where we have been celebrating that with the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, as we continue in the Days of Unleavened Bread, we need to be putting sin out of our life, making a very concerted effort to do that and to keep it out. Not put it on a shelf somewhere. Get it out of your life. Not be willing to go and retrieve something after the Days of Unleavened Bread are over. We need to work diligently to keep sin out of our lives and to ask God to show us what's occurring in our life that we need to work on even more. Because Jesus Christ came to the earth to become like the children, to share in their experience as flesh and blood so that He can release us from death and give us eternal life. Of that sacrifice, the Word, this was established before the foundation of the earth. All through that time, God and the Word, planning, looking forward to that event. And aren't we so thankful that Christ did that? The Lamb of God, who sacrificed Himself to take on the sins of mankind, to give us that access to our Father. Through His stripes we are healed. Through His blood we are saved, redeemed. Because you have to understand, and it's hard to fathom, just the tremendous amount of planning that took place before anything was designed or created by God. But God's plan had a plan to expand His family, to create physical beings in His image, and to offer salvation to all. Think upon that each day, of that eternal purpose of God that we are a part of. Because one day all the inhabitants of the earth will bow before their Creator. We find that in Romans 14, verse 11. Romans 14, verse 11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So we as God's children, we need to learn to walk as Christ walked, our perfect example. And just like a human child, before they can walk, what do? Well, they're being held, they're starting to turn, they're starting to move. They do their scooting, they do their crawling. They do their standing by supporting themselves. And that great day where they learn to walk. And then eventually start running. course, usually it's running when they're looking behind them, see what's chasing them, and run right into something. It's a learning process. It takes balance. I know because I did it as I was a kid. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, Mr. Wynn had this in his message on the first day of unleavened bread. I had to jot it down because I felt like it fit in my message. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, we're waiting on the Lord, aren't we? Are we renewing our strength? They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And by renewing our strength in God and Jesus Christ, it is so wonderful to be able to renew that type of spiritual strength in our Lord. So do you really know, have you thought about for yourself and your life and through your life about an eternal purpose that God has for you? And if you have, then there should be a desire to understand how all things work together for good. If we're following our father and our elder brother and what they have laid out for us in their scriptures, in the scriptures that we have on hand with us each day. But the way life is, do you sometimes find yourself still asking, is there really a purpose to this life? What am I supposed to be doing? Why am I having to do this or that? Is there doubt? Well, if doubt should ever enter your mind, we must find answers with the Creator of life to remove those doubts, to stay firm in God's Word and God's truth, God, the calling that God has brought us to. And then again, those that are just beginning and growing in life, if you haven't considered this question, might be time for you to start giving it some consideration. Because God is working in your life at every point in your life. Whether you see it or not, God is there. Think about your history, about your life as you've grown up. God will show you parts, pictures of your life that if you apply it from God's standpoint, you can see where He was there. He blocked this and He helped you here. The examples are there. We just have to go searching for it and ask God to show us. Because the Bible is the story of everything. The greatest story right here, God's Holy Scriptures. Because the Bible is about creation. It's about the Creator. It's about God's desire for children. And it talks about humanity's desire to be independent from our Creator. And I'll do what I want to do. Yeah. The Bible is full of it. Well, all these examples that show us we don't want to go down that road. We want to stay close and dependent on our Creator. And it is the story of how Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is working. I mean, it did not stop back then with the apostles. He is continuing to work. Christ said His Father is working and He's working. And Christ is working to bring us back. to the Creator's family, to God. Because we know that Jesus Christ is our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord and Master, our High Priest, our brother. He goes on and on and on and on. Jesus Christ. A great example. In Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." Verse 2, "and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." So as dear children of God, using Christ's example, do we go to God in our prayers, seeking forgiveness, seeking guidance, so that our prayers to our Father are a sweet-smelling aroma? Are we working on that area of our life? There's so much relationship in God's Word with His holy days that He's established. As God is offering you, each one of you in here, and around this world, people that God has called, He is offering us His greatest purpose to understand why He made us. We just have to get to that point where we're drinking that understanding in and living it, to live as His child now, and to be changed into His spiritual image forever in His kingdom. That time will come. But the preparation, understanding, and living the way of life that we should be living that He's called us to, the love for one another, the love for our Father, Jesus Christ, and our love for each of you, we need to be working more diligently on that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, But as it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." And we need to allow God's Spirit within us to lead us and to guide us, to help us search out all things, to get into that deep water, the things of God, to drill down to it. Because through God's Spirit, God does give us a little understanding, a little bit of a picture of what He has for us, what He has waiting for us, what He has gifted us with, to put ourselves in God's hands totally. The way we think, the way we speak, the way we live, the way we serve is so vitally important to show God what type of child we are. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Ephesians 3, verse 11. "According to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Can you see all these uplifting words? Eternal purpose accomplished. Jesus Christ our Lord, that name is above all other names. And through Him, we have that boldness. We have that access. Without God and without Jesus Christ, there is no confidence. There is no faith. There is no boldness. There is no access. There's no confidence through faith. See how much God and His Son, our elder brother, have given us, has presented it to us. Here it is. Accept it. Take it. Live it. Move forward. In Ephesians 1, verse 4. Because God's eternal purpose formed before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians 1, verse 4, it says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Again, that planning. The master planner. The master builder. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He gives you the answers. If this was a test, here's the answers. Here's the answers right here in God's Word. Spend more time in God's Word. Spend more time with God. He's speaking to us through His Word. We're speaking to Him through our prayers. Because again, through Christ, we now have that access to the Father, the grace, to the indwelling Spirit, to the hope of salvation. Again, we can come before God with boldness and confidence because of our faith in Christ. In Hebrews 4, verse 16, again, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You ever have any times of need for something that you cry out to God about? Life is full of things, and a lot of it's time of need. So when we're thinking about God's creative power, again, in my mind, it's so hard for me to imagine just how much planning, how much time that it took, that went into everything that exists. I mean, you hear about the scientists talking about this and that, and to me, it's just, they're well underestimating what's out there. Distances, size, whatever. But the amount of creative power the Supreme God did for us. For us. His children. Isaiah 45, verse 12. Isaiah 45, verse 12 says, I have made the earth and created man on it. He's speaking to us. He's talking to us. Says, my hand stretched out the heavens and all their host I have commanded. Just the immense power, the love that is being shown here to us. And how it reminds us of how great God is. And what a mighty God that we serve. He has called us for that. To see the greatness. To give glory to Him. This mighty power. And His love. Everything in the universe, whether spiritual or physical, was created by Jesus Christ on behalf of the Father. Ephesians 3, verse 9. Ephesians 3, verse 9. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Just these words. God does not mince words. God tells us in His words, if we're willing to listen, we're willing to dig, we're willing to follow and apply this in our life. But I don't know about you, talking about what it took for all that planning for God and what He created. Do you have difficulty planning something? I know I do. Just one little small event or one little project. You know, hanging pictures. You think you got it all figured out, and then it's no. We're assembling something you bought that needs assembly. I got a bookcase still to this day that's you don't want to look at the back of it. Okay, it's not assembled properly. I'm sure I'm the only man in here that I don't need instructions. No, I know how to do this. You know, don't even get me started on working on a car. I learned that early in life, my very first car. Unfortunately, I listened to my human father. Boy, you don't want to take that into a shop. You can do it yourself. Wrong. No, I'll be happy to pay money for someone to do that for me. But here, the glorious God, He is the perfect planner. Look at yourself in the mirror. Hey, God's a perfect planner. He planned. You're here. You're here. You're here. God's called you. That was part of His plan. Us being part of His family, that's part of His plan. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 11. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Verse 11, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. It tells us in God's word what's still to come. These verses apply to what's still to come. But what's recorded for us here are things that have occurred in the past to remember the former things of old as examples for us in this life to do better in our life. Because it gives us instructions that show us requirements for being blessed with eternal life from God. If we're willing to listen and look for it and study it and live it, practice it, so that we're better and better and better at it, such as Micah 6, verse 8. We'll cover a couple of scriptures to talk about this area. Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. God shows us what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Here's his instructions. He's handing you the instructions to follow. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. There's a lot to this life that God has called us to, but it's all good. It's all good. I think sometimes, I know for myself, you start to look for these little one-off areas, you know. The life God has called us to is all good. But what are we looking at? Well, what's not so good that I'm run across? Mm-hmm. It's not God's fault. It's those choices that we make along our life that tend to cause these issues and problems. More so, not God. But we're to learn from it. We're to be better and not make that mistake twice. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. Now the purpose of the commandment is love. From a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Again, these words that we see in Scripture, a pure heart, pure, a good conscience, a sincere, sincere faith. Are we applying these words in our hearts, our minds, our very actions? Daily. One more scripture here for this. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. Again, showing the magnitude of what God and the Word did during all that planning. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For you were bought at a price. What type of price do you put that in the very life of Jesus Christ? So therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There's no way of putting a number as a price there. It's immeasurable. It's just so fantastically huge. Because you're talking about an eternal purpose. Eternity. You know, God tells us that He's called the weak of the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren. You still see your calling. We're still being called to live the way that God has called us to. And not so many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty Not many noble are called. Verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And God continues to remind us through his word that we are not to remain as we are. We're to be growing more and more. Because our hearts need to be softened. You have a soft heart. You have a pure heart. Things we need to work on. And we do it through God's way, God's truth. What about our thinking? Has it been improving over the years? Whether you're just starting out in God's family, newly baptized, or those that have been here for ages, many moons, how are we doing? We're supposed to be examining ourselves, not just once a year, but at all times. Do you see the areas we've improved in, that you've improved in? Do you see the areas that you still need to improve in? I mean, dare say, it applies to every one of us in here. It applies to me, to you, to anyone that God has called. And that's such a good thing about God's annual holy days. It reminds us of how God will fulfill his plan that we are a part of today, but the plan for all of mankind, to invite them into his eternal family. But it's God's timeline, it's God's time frame. And if it should happen sooner than expected, the question that we need to be asking is, will we be ready? Are we ready today? It's always a question to ponder, because it's worth pondering. Are we in a condition today that God would consider us a well done, thou good and faithful servant? Because it is a great honor, a wonderful honor, to be invited into the church of the living God. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. Says, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. This was Paul speaking, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Again, God has handpicked each and every one of you sitting here to be a very valuable part of his growing family, because we have access to his magnificent power and his words of truth. And each of us, each one of us has been given time. Because you're still alive, you're still here, you're looking at me, you've still been given time to prepare for the coming kingdom of God. Because we all know mankind on our own, without God, we're weak, forgetful, stubborn, temporary, sinful, and much more. What a package. Satan's had his part in cramming that package together, being the God of this age. In Hebrews 2, verse 10, again, talking about God's great plan involving us, we show a goal here. It says, Hebrews 2, verse 10, for it is fitting for him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That being Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. So we must understand that no matter what's in our past, what's behind us, we have been invited to live a different way of life. Don't let the past take over your thoughts, your life. Because it's up to each of us to put away our bad habits, replace them with the qualities of Christ. In Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, again, talking about we don't want to stay stagnant. Says, therefore, in verse 14, I'm going to start in verse 14 of Ephesians 5. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Or are we walking properly? Are we walking that narrow path that God has established and put before us? Because the best way to fulfill the guidelines that God is continually giving us here is we have to understand God's will that He's given us to hear and to listen and to learn from. Ephesians 5, verses 16 through 18. We're to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And to be filled with God's Spirit. Just like today, we're being reminded, because every seventh day, the Sabbath, is a reminder to us by our Creator of what He is planning for all of humanity. Our soon coming King is inviting us to grow in faith. And Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, where we partook of the Passover, the foot washing, the bread, the wine, the Christ's example set for us. That's a reminder, an annual reminder of what God and His Son have done. Because in God's Word, we are witnessing many wonderful promises. The type that you can take to the bank, because they're true. They're solid promises. And it will take place after Christ's return. And as the elect of God, we should be focused on our calling and getting ready for all that has been prophesied in the Bible. Again, how prepared are we? How successful are we to be at this point of the continual preparation? What part of our life are we in need of putting forth more effort to build that closer relationship? Each of us in here are brothers and sisters. And when we begin our day, if God grants us another day, it's good to remember why we exist and to give thanks to our gracious Father and Elder Brother. In Acts 22, verse 14, Acts 22, verse 14. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. And we hear Christ, we hear God the Father through his words that we're to be staying into each day of our life. So again, our loving Father has given us time to practice His amazing qualities of love, joy, and peace. Take the time. Use the time. Better yourself. Appreciate each day that God gives us. And to grow each day in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. So as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So let's be closer to God, because as His children, we need to control, again, our time better. We need to work on our health to be the best that we can be to help God in His work. To definitely improve our study time, our prayer time, our fasting. Basically, to step it up in all areas of our life towards God and Jesus Christ. Because it is imperative. It is so important that we follow the example of Jesus Christ and to be about our Father's business. As children of God, we're to be working for our Father. It's His business. In Luke 2, verse 49. Luke 2, verse 49. And He said to them, "Why did you seek Me?" This was when Christ was young. 12, 13 years old in Jerusalem. He was left behind. His parents came back to the inn. He says, "Why did you seek Me? Did you not know I must be about My Father's business?" Just as we, by following Christ's example, we must be about our Father's business. And part of our Father's business is for us to be learning, teaching ourselves, working with each other, loving one another. Because today is a gift from God. Each day that God gives us is a gift. Every breath that we take is a gift from God. So let's be thankful and draw upon His strength so that we are fully pleasing to Him, so that we see the fulfillment of an eternal purpose. Enjoy the rest of Sabbath.